PSP officers worked with the federal government in one form or another every day. FBI, IRS, DEA, OSHA, and most of all, the Interstate Commerce Commission. It didn't take many years on the job to learn most of those federal boys were not smarter than the average bear. Sandy's opinion was that when the feds did show the occasional flash of intelligence, it tended to be self-serving and sometimes downright malicious. Mostly, they were slaves to the grind, worshippers at the altar of routine procedure. Before joining the PSP, Sandy had seen the same sort of dull, go-through-the-proper-channels thinking in the Army. Also, he wasn't much older than Curtis himself, which made him young enough to hate the idea of giving the roadmaster up. Better to hand it over to scientists in the private sector, though, if it came to that. Perhaps even a bunch from the college advertised on the front of Curtis's lawn-mowing shirt. But best of all, the troop. The Gray family. Buck had petered out into silence.
"Oh, not a good idea, I guess," he said.
"Don't worry," someone said. "You do win the Grolier Encyclopedia in our exciting home game." Tony waited for a few chuckles to ripple across the room and die away before going on. "I want everyone who works out of this barracks to know what went on tonight, so they'll know what to expect if it happens again. Spread the word. Spread the code for the Buick as well. D, as in dog. Just D, right? And I'll let you all know what happens next, starting with the Geiger counter. That test will be made before second shift tomorrow, I guarantee it. We're not going to tell our wives or sisters or brothers or best friends off the force what we have here, gentlemen, but we are going to keep each other exquisitely well-informed. That's my promise to you. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way, by verbal report. There has been no paperwork directly concerning the vehicle out there, if it is a vehicle, and that's how it's going to stay. All understood?" There was another murmur of agreement. "I won't tolerate a blabbermouth in Troop D, gentlemen. No gossip and no pillow talk. Is that understood?" It seemed it was. "Look at this one," Phil said suddenly, holding up one of the Polaroids. "The trunk's open." Kurt nodded. "Closed again now, though. It opened during one of the flashes, and I think it closed during the next one." Sandy thought of Ennis and had an image, very brief, but very clear, of the Buick's trunk lid opening and closing like a hungry mouth. See the living crocodile. Take a good look, but for God's sake, don't stick your fingers in there. Kurt went on. "I also believe the windshield wipers ran briefly, although my eyes were too dazzled by then for me to be sure, and none of the pictures show it." "Why?" Phil asked. "Why would stuff like that happen?" "Electrical surge," Sandy guessed. "The same thing that screwed up the radio in dispatch." "Maybe the wipers, but the trunk of a car doesn't run on electricity. When you want to open the trunk, you just push the button and lift the lid." Sandy had no answer for that. "The temperature in the shed has gone down another couple of degrees," Kurt said. "That'll bear watching." The meeting ended, and Sandy went back out on patrol. Every now and then, when radioing back to base, he'd ask Matt Babicki if D was five by. The response was always, "Roger, D is five by five." In later years, it would become a standard call and response in the Short Hills area surrounding Statler, Pogus City, and Patchen. A few other barracks eventually picked it up, even a couple over the Ohio state line. They took it to mean, "Is everything cool back home?" This amused the men working out of Troop D, because that was what "Is D still five by?" did mean.